Perek Aleph, Solom Udmus. So now the Rambam has a lot of prokim over here, where he's going to basically just take words in the Torah that sound like they might be referring to some sort of physical property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and explain how it's not. So he says like this. So Tzolom Udmus is the famous one. People on the impression that the word tzolom means a picture, the way we'd call it. So tzolmek v'seinu l'chura sounds like it's a physical attribute. So they basically said that must mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the same picture we have. If we're in the image of Hashem, and so Hashem has an image, and that's our image. And they believe in this Hakshama. So two things prompted them to this belief. One is that they're going to deny the validity of a pasuk. The pasuk seems to imply that's the literal meaning of the pasuk. And another reason why they had this feeling was because basically when you say something is totally invisible, can't be heard, seen, smelled, whatever. So it's another way of saying non-existent. And so basically, they said that God is some sort of a being that has a certain surah, but it is of a more elevated, refined nature than we are, similar to the way malachim are described somewhere. So he said the general negation of any akshama you're going to know from the sefer in general. Specific point, but here I just want to explain what the word salmudmus mean in this context. What we call a picture is called shmam yuchad lo blush ivri is toar. Ama yifei toar yifei mare ma toaroi ketoyav de amelach. So, mapping out something, giving something that has a clear outline is called a toar. So, toar certainly doesn't fall on Kodesh Baruch Hu. Omnam tselem hu nofal ala tzura tivis. Tzelem is the essence of something. What is the thing? So, Lamasha, if I tell you I have a table, so a table, I can have a physical picture of it. I can also mean the concept of a table is something which you can eat on, write on, or whatever it is. So the word tzelem means actually what is its essence. And then when we say two tables, they may not look alike in any sense, shape, or form, but if they're both used in some way as a place to eat on, it'll be called a table. If it were mitose, masho nimtzahu, asha'inyan ha'odom, asha'inyan baromu, asha'avur ti asogis anushis, of the asogazis asichlis nema boy, it's all in Kimbara Isai. So he defines the tselem of the person. In other words, what is the nekudas ha'adam, which could appropriately be said is doime to the nekuda. So he says that the hasaga sichlis, the understanding of Adam, the das of Adam, has in itself a common denominator with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. And the very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows our das to share in understanding that which he has projected as right and wrong and so on and so forth, means that there's some sort of shituf. The fact that we can pick up a Torah and learn it, and we believe that our mind has the ability to be teifes that which is described as chachmasa yisbarach, ritzayin yisbarach, and so on, means that we are of that nature. L'chei nemat salmon tivze, kebezoyen dodak b'nefesh, asher tzura minis. When you're talking about being mevaza something, you're certainly not talking about being mevaza. Bizoyin is not a pain that is associated with the guf. It's associated with the person's core sense of self. The reason why tzlamim are called tzlamim, in other words, when a person makes an avodah zarah, he's not looking for the rak, he's looking for the divinity that the rak represents. So anytime we're talking about an essence, that's where the word tzlamim could apply. It says of that they made the tzlamim atchorim because this was something which was meant to ward off the disease rather than to than actually an image of it. And he said, it is possible that Tzalmei Tcharem and Tzlamim of Avodah Zarah does mean the picture in it. Yem kein Tzalm Shem Mishtatev Mesupik Yom Al Atzur Aminis Al Atzur Malachis Al Kiyitzva Mitmusak Shem Timatayim. So he said, okay, I'm willing to concede. Maybe it means both of them, but in some places, Tzalm could mean the physical features and figure, and in some cases, it means its essence. The year Nirzeh Ba'amar Nasarim Tzalmeinu Hatzura Haminis Ashi Yasoga Sichlis Loi Hatmuna Va'atoyar V'hinei Kva Be'anu L'cha Efrish Bein Tzalem V'atoyar Be'anu In Tzalem. So whenever we're talking about Tzalmeinu, it means the Hasoga and the Tfisa Sichlis, not any type of physical shape or whatever. I want to add maybe one more connection over here that I think is important. It could very well be what the Rama means, or a point about what the Rama is saying over here, that when we speak of seichel, of a person's koach seichel, so one part of it is the computational ability of a person's mind. So let's take an example. A bird knows an awful, awful, awful lot of mathematics, because for a bird to plot a flight pattern is incredible. It's not much different than plotting out a flight pattern that a navigator does. It takes a lot of seichel. But there's no conscious awareness of it. In other words, it's not as if the bird is typhus, the way we would call typhus the thing. It simply happens. And whatever process happens to the brain, it happens. There is no, for instance, let's take a marshal closer to home. For somebody to teach a person how to walk, who's Achmana San Bin, had a stroke or something, that takes an incredible amount of knowledge, understanding of the interplay of the different muscles in the body as a person is walking. and to guide a person, you know, how and what to flex and what to tense and what to put down and what to pick up. For a person to map that out, that's quite complex. And yet a two-year-old does it and does it amazingly so. So the two-year-old brain has the ability to figure it out. But I can't say that the two-year-old has a tfisa and hasaga. Adam's yichud is that he has what we call tfisa and hasaga, and b'meila he shayich to this inyan. Amnam. So that's salmein. Dumus, whom in shem domai, who gam kein dimyan be'inyan. Dumus is something which means a similarity. Not the way we use the word of dumus, meaning like dumus tiukno, a physical likeness. Ka'omroi domis likas midbar, very interesting because Rav Chaim brings the exact same pasuk. It says, I was like a certain bird. It doesn't mean that Yirmiyahu Navi grew a beak and feathers. It means, just like the Ka'as Midba always seems to be mourning, so to me, it doesn't mean that anything looked like a tree, that he looked like any tree. But Dimyon Binyana Yoifi Hamas Lomoy Kidmus Hamas Nochush. So they all mean some sort of similarity. So all these places, the word dmus is used as a similarity. Adam has something very miyuchud, v'hu hasoga hasichlis. Asher lo yishtamesh bo chush, v'lo yimayse guf, lo yad v'lo regel, dimo yise hasoga salikus, asher eino bechli. So let's go back to this point and let's talk a little bit about this. He says what makes Adam miyuchud, what makes Adam very, very special, is he has hasoga sichlis. And he says, "Lo yishtamish b'chush, v'lo ma'isiguf le'yad le'regel." Let's think a little bit. Going back to the mishalim we used, let's go back and be a little point out another nekuda. A computer works because there's an input. So, I press a button, I input electric impulses onto certain bits and so on, and b'meila, whatever it is that the computer shows me simply registers whatever it is. If I take a picture, old pictures, the old cameras, non-digital cameras, so there's light, and the light gets registered, the light gets absorbed on a piece of film. And basically, I'm showing is the light that absorbs a piece of film. Same things with a recording device and so on. So too, every Baal Chai, its mind is the absorption of all of the input, all the data input that it senses as input in it. So the Seichel is simply a storage device for physical inputs. I can't really say that the whatever data is stored in the mind of the animal is bigger than the physical input. So it sees somebody that threw a rock on it. So the dog registers the picture of the person with a little tag, enemy, bark, run, whatever it is, and so on. That's every Baal Chai, every Yitzur. The same thing is true. A field. If somebody very heavy steps on a field and leaves a mark on the ground, so that is recorded. That Adam has the ability to have a conceptual tfisa on things. He can organize a concept. Lamash la klal. These are dogs. Those are wolves. even though the dogs come in 1,000 different shapes and sizes, but he has the concept dog. He has a concept of a system. The conceptual Tfisa is not a recording of any physical properties that have been absorbed through the senses. It's not, no one sees dog. You see different types of dogs, and then your mind comes up with a concept, the dog concept. And certainly when you get to things like justice, and certainly when you get to things like anything that's sort of abstract. So Adam is the only Yitzur that has a tfisa in things that are non-physical. So that's a similarity. That's something I could say is doima. So because it is sechel loki shubitzam lakim and wusai, loisha lakayis baruch guf shebal kumuna. So because we're dealing with this property, and Adam is similar, Adam has in himself that nature, that's where we call Adam similar to it. So Sarkoponim, the Rambam is teaching Solomon Dumus that Adam has a similarity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is true. The similarity exists in the fact that he says his tfisa sichlis that we've described, and I think that that's what he really means, asaga sichlis, asher yishtamash b'achus and so on and so forth. I want to add a few points to this. The advantage of this definition, in a certain sense, is as follows. We don't need to say that it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the same conceptual thinking process that we have. Chas v'sholom. That process that we formulate klolim and ideas, all that doesn't exist by Kadosh Baruch Hu either. What it does mean is that whatever our essence is, it stands above the physical. It stands above the physical because we conceptualize things that are totally not physical. And for instance, justice. Justice is a concept we conceptualize. We don't have justice. It is not a picture. So yes, a child needs to have a primitive picture. Justice is when you get rewarded for something and you get jailed for something that's bad. But tachlis, when you the older you get, the more you find your teif is that there is a musik of justice, and it doesn't have physical pratim, and yet we have a tfis in it. If we have a tfis in it, where's that coming from? One of the things, for instance, computers, you cannot teach them anything conceptual, really. Whatever a computer knows is going to boil down to some sort of physical reality. It's a tit for a tat. It's a mark on a circuit representing something else somewhere else. I can take a person standing here, and I can make an analogy to a circuit, to a picture with pixels, and these pixels on, these pixels off. That's analogous. Point to point, pixel to pixel, that's point to pixel. A person is connected there. Once I start trying to give it some sort of concept, it's at a loss. Lamarshall, when we sort out animals into different species, so there are guidelines, there are technical guidelines that do it for, you know, we create technical guidelines. We say all animals that do this, and this are to be identified in the following phylum, the following genus, the following species. So I could do that very well with a computer. So I'll say to the computer, this and this species has the following qualities. And every time I take a little bird that I captured, and I just all have to mark off as a computer, this, you know, how tall it is, how short it is, what colors it has, you know, some of its properties and so on. And the computer will instantly match it with one of its existing species. It could also do and say, if let's say no species like this exists with all the attributes I've listed, bring me the closest ones, 5 out of 6. And it'll do that. That'll be well also. But our instinctive feel that when we see something, we automatically decide if it's a dog or a wolf, that type, and usually by a person, we start with some sort of conceptual tsura, and only later do we give it physical attributes. You know, most people honestly will they're going to look at animals and say, these animals are birds of one feather. Let's see what makes them birds of one feather. Because my first thesis is a kind, a species. And then I try to put it together. A lot of times I'll hear an idea that I think is right. And then I'll struggle to prove it and so on. That's intuitive thinking. And it's a correct way of thinking. It needs to be processed afterwards, through a very logical process, rational process, data-driven process. But tachlis, at the end of the day, our tfisa is very different. That tfisa is a type of tfisa that makes us similar. We're the only ones in the bit has that tfisa, and therefore our metzias transcends this physical world. Every other animal is locked into this world. Locked in this world, I mean, because its tfisa of this is of this world. It doesn't have a place in a ruchnistic environment. It's a very, very its mind is only of this world. Adam has a sense of things that are beyond this world, and therefore, you know, he's shaykh to something else. Also, this is a type of thing that has no tsura. The concepts we're talking about don't have a tsura to it. They don't have any physical definition to it, and therefore it's shaykh to the beyond. Okay, so al kapanim, the Rambam describes the two keywords of tzelem and so on. I want to add. And his, you know, the pshat's not different than anyone else would. Everybody's moida that song must mean something else. The question is maybe specifically what and so on. I would like to shtolzich on this in pasuk a minute. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked around the world, and he says, Nas Adam b'tzalmeinu k'dmuseinu. So it's almost as if he's looking for that. It's Ke'ilu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have a wonderful world. The world looks like it can survive really well. I'm going to throw in Adam, who's B'Tzalmeinu K'dmuseinu. Now, that is why Adam is created, Ke'ilu. That's the Tachlis. And the answer to that is, so why is it? It's not just the Mikradika Hagdor of Adam, that is what Adam is. That's his identifying property. If you ask yourself, what's the difference between Adam and a very smart ape, or whatever it is, it's this concept of tfisa, call it consciousness, call it awareness, call it whatever you want to call it, this is its metzias. So the question is why? And the answer is because, like it says in Rashi, if I make him from Elyonim, it's a problem, if I make him from Tachtonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mechaber, the two worlds. First, there was only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then there was a world. And now, the ultimate shleimus is a link between those two nyanim, between the world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To have a link means we're going to have a person whose Sulam Mutzavarza, his input is physical information, data, reality, and his tfis of it transcends it. So the chibur of al yoyinat haktonim is exactly this point. It starts because Adam must have some sort of physical object that he's coming off, and then he makes a theory out of it. It's very interesting. The early Greeks were very big proponents of this type of thinking. They really understood that conceptual abstract thinking is chashev, and they didn't bother with the facts. They felt that if a person would just sit in his armchair and be mispoinen and misamek and so on, he would come up with the right ideas, because as long as my mind is big enough to conceptualize no matter what and get to the emes. And they did not quite work out all that well. But today, so it's true that today we have data and everything needs to be tested with data and so on. But if a person's mind is only capable of processing data, not capable of conceptualizing, then he's basically a technician. He's not a scientist. He's basically just taking stuff and that exists, and maybe transferring it from one type of input to another type of input. But there's no tfis and havana. Adam's unique role is that tfis and that havana. I also ask some very curious: how many people, the Rambam in his whole sefer seems to address this as a major issue in his times. I don't know. It's who are these people? How many were there? Certainly, there were a lot of Amoratsim and so on, and simple folk. But how many people actually learned that? People who are of some stature. Not talking about your Pashto Yid, who I understand well. Why it would be a natural way. But I'm just curious to know, who's he talking to? Like who are these vast people, these mountain people, whatever. I'll go upon him. This is, so we're holding here, and it'll be a mixed bag. The next perek is actually a perek that segues into one of the major shilas that he deals with, and that is the question of when did Adam have Bechira, and so on and so forth. We'll see that next time, Etz Hashem. Next week, I have a chas in New York, so I'm not going to be, we won't have a share. Etz Hashem, in 2 weeks, everything should be okay. Etz Hashem, we should, mamshik. Any questions, points, anything? Okay.
The PDF that was sent out on the second to last page, I don't know if everyone was able to buy their own sefer, but
you want more PDFs?
I'm sorry, is that should I have to send out, or
as long as Eitz HaChachma holds out, there'll be PDFs. Okay. That's their
the Rav Kook one that you've been sending is out of print in
what?
The one that you've been using, the Rav Kook one, is out of print in the stores that in
Lake. It's out of print. Maybe we get Yaakov to do reprinting. He's very good at this stuff. So okay, I'll be happy to forward the next few prokim. I'll get off the, just if you don't get it by in 2 weeks from now, just remind me the day before. It should not be a problem. I got this one off it, so it's going to be the same. Okay, Afreil Hanukkah.
Thank you for Hanukkah.